Ladies and gentlemen, the Siemens Gamesa conference call has started. I will now give the floor to Mr. Jochen Eickholt.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Good morning to everyone. Thank you very much for joining us at short notice and also at such early times, specifically for those in the UK. The purpose of this call is to address some of the questions on your preliminary, on our preliminary earnings release published yesterday evening. As stated in our communication, we will disclose our first quarter results in February 2nd with a follow-up call. So this call is supposed to last for some 30 minutes, and investor relation, of course, will be, as always, available for further question if needed after the call. So for us in Siemens Gamesa, our first quarter results have been negatively impacted by charges amounting to 472 million at EBIT level, so 472 at EBIT level, affecting mainly our service activity. The charge reflects the outcome of the evaluation of the installed fleet. Such evaluation has shown a negative development of the failure rates, so the incidence rates, if you wish, for the specific failures went up for specific components, and that as such then with the resulting into in higher warranty and service maintenance costs, higher than previously estimated. Costs as such also were impacted by inflation. The cash flow impact of this charge is expected to happen over a timeline of up to 8 years, and we are working on mitigation plans now to, of course, optimize that impact. As a result, our Q1 revenues amounted to 2 billion euros. Our EBIT pre-PPA and before INR costs went to minus 760 million, and we ended the quarter with a net debt of 1.9 billion. We signed new orders with a value of 1.6 billion, and this is sometimes a specific element of the discussion. Our onshore order intake, the ASP there, the average sales price, amounted to 0.95 million euro per megawatt. So this is a 24% year-on-year increase. In spite of these results, I would like to highlight that during the quarter, we've also made good progress in the stabilization of the business and in our plans to return to profitability in the midterm. Progress is driven mostly by the Mistral program then. So for the first time, the manufactured and installed volumes of our Siemens Gamesa 5X turbine, the onshore turbine, those values have surpassed those in our planning, and we've accelerated project delivery times. On the commercial side for new order intake, we've introduced further measures to reduce or to optimize our risk profile. So in that sense, we see a better risk protection in place for the new contracts. One major pillar of our Mistral program also was the introduction of a new organization, which is fully operational as of January the 1st. We've also made good progress in advancing the negotiations with the labor side on restructuring. We already have announced the agreement in Spain. So all these factors give me confidence that our long-term potential in the market is clearly there, and we continue to see strong growth prospects. But with that, let's open the lines for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 5 on your telephone keypad. We kindly request that due to time limitations, you limit your questions to one per turn. Please be informed that in order to assure audio quality, we recommend that all questions be asked from landlines. Thank you. First question comes from Supriya Supranyan from UBS. Please go ahead.
I'm sorry, at least I don't hear a question.
Next, please. First question comes from Nicholas Green from Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you. Good morning, Joachim. Thanks for taking the time to talk us through this. So for my first question, can you just talk through operationally then? Can you give us further color on the failure rates that you're referring to? You mentioned specific components. Just help us understand how the installed base and the work you intended to do as part of the O&M contracts, which bit of that has basically led to more service work, which bit of it has led you to have a slightly lower revenue number, I think you referred to in the press release. That normally implies some change to effective uptime on the installation, maybe something along those lines. So just can you give us more color operationally? What is it that actually you found that's gone wrong or would need to be fixed? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for that question. So it's a broader mix of components and effects on a variety of platforms. So there is no specific highlight or lowlight, if you wish. Indeed, it's around those components where we are in charge of. So we either are in warranty phases or we are in maintenance phases or we have the obligation to stand up for the quality of that very component. So that then leads to these combined effects. These need to be discussed at project level, which probably would go a little bit beyond the scope here and today. But of course, then one of the effects is that due to different downtime patterns, also the revenue figures are impacted. In total, it's really a broad mix of things. We've given a lot of emphasis on analyzing also with the help of statistics how the developments can be measured and foreseen here, and that's what we did. So it is a broader set of things. It is affecting a variety of different platforms, and it's also affecting a variety of different components.
Thank you. I'll turn it over. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Akash Gupta from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good morning, Joachim and Beatrice. My question is on ASP and favorable terms that you have mentioned. 0.95 is kind of flattish sequentially, and then we see that some material costs coming down in the market and freight costs coming down. So how do you see this ASP with respect to the cost development that is going on? And when you say favorable terms, can you please elaborate what do you mean by those favorable terms? Thank you.
So first of all, onshore business, 0.95. This indeed is a continuation of the activities. In some areas, we see a relaxation of the cost position, but in some other areas, we continue to not observe that. But in overall, it's contributing to the positive trend. When it comes to risk protection, yes, indeed, we have introduced further clauses around the effect of inflation. That's also true for the longer term projects, so the longer lasting projects, so the new discussions around offshore. But in principle, with this, we are at a better profile when it comes to specifically the effect of inflation.
Thank you. The next question comes from Sebastian Grohl from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. It also goes back to the charges that you have taken in the quarter. Can you be more specific as to whether the mentioned component failures are related to the onshore-offshore business and what time frame are we looking at to fix the respective component exchanges? And related to it, can you talk also about the related cash outflows and the profile for getting all these fixings done? If I may quickly, a follow-up on the order side. Obviously, the price is up, but the volume is down quite materially by about 20% on my calculations. Can you just give us a sense of what you are sort of eyeing at in terms of eventually for the full year, where you think that would be an appropriate volume for the business? Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. So first of all, on the service charges, it indeed is a broader range of components for a broader range of the platforms. and that is impacting both onshore and offshore. So there is no single pattern as such, which perhaps can be disclosed here, and that is leading to those effects. Since the mechanics behind this is that there's also then the foreseeable failure of components, we reckon the impact of that to happen over 8 years. And if you would like to have further discussions on cash flow, perhaps I can refer to BFAC.
Yes, thank you for the question, Sebastian. Regarding cash flow, as we explained, this is expected over a timeline of up to 8 years. That, of course, is pretty aligned with the average life of the projects that are impacted, and we expect for 23 roughly a mid double digit impact in 23.
Thanks. And then on the order intake, please remember that that we are in project business, and sometimes the projects are rather big. So any one delay of any one project can easily lead to a different profile over the year. As far as the year-end figures are concerned, please forgive me, we cannot give the guidance.
Fair enough. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from Lucas Ferrani from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Good morning. So my question is on these issues you found. Can you confirm whether this is really the end of it, that you've been through kind of all the issues and you identified everything and you're no longer going to see, you know, further, let's say, additional charges either on EBIT or revenue, that the contracts you have now have reflected all those issues, or is there a possibility that we see more problems? And following that is this really SGRE specific, and therefore is there a risk that you lose market share or potentially see an impact on your business from these issues versus your competitor who might not have gone through the same thing? Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. So first of all, I think the $1 million question. I think the answer to that is that we look at everything we are aware of, and we are going through it with all the needed diligence, and step by step we're moving forward here. And from that perspective, I think the security safety is increasing, that going forward we will find less. However, we continue to look at whatever we find, and that's also true. I have to say, though, that that in my view, in principle, our view on the business as such and on the business climate does not really change. I would see that those assumptions we've had over the past and also our judgments on the market possibilities, those remain intact. We just have to cope with what we found.
Thank you. The next question comes from Supriya Subramanian from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I hope I'm audible right now.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, okay, great, thank you. Two questions from my end. One is on the, just as a follow-up of the previous question in terms of chances of incremental provisions. Do you think at least for the components that you have identified, the provisioning is done and we will not see recurring provisions through the coming quarters? And sort of a follow-up to this, you've also said that, provisioning levels for future contracts would have to be higher on the back of this analysis. Does that have an impact on potential for sort of future long-term margins for the service business?
Well, thank you very much for these questions. So first of all, regarding those components and those phenomena we identified, my judgment is that, yes, this is it. So in that sense, going forward, we have to see that we are increasingly protected, not against these things typically, but please remember that we are also finding ourselves in times of inflation, and therefore inflation protection is one of our highest priorities for basically all the projects and all the contracts, and in that in also all the regions, although in many cases there are different patterns and there's also differences between onshore and offshore. So that's what the protection is about. regarding the mid to long-term effects of the findings in the service arena, please forgive me, this is probably still, in my view, a little bit early to have a fun discussion on that. Of course, we are now trying to set up all the plans and mitigation plans and optimization activities to have the impacts minimized and going forward. I would reckon us to be really clear about that we want to have these problems solved, but the final impact or for any kind of judgment on the final numbers, it's too early.
Okay, thank you. And my next question is on order momentum. You know, in some of your peers, you've seen an uptick in momentum in this quarter in terms of orders booked. And I understand, of course, there could be a timing difference between one quarter to the next. But in just generally in terms of discussions with customers, et cetera, do you get any subjective feeling that sort of activity levels of momentum in the industry is picking up over the last couple of months?
Well, there is a yes and no, and that is regionally distributed, and it's also, I think there's also a difference between onshore and offshore, but in principle, please remember, if we now say in Q1 we had 1.6 billion, that is then referring to a time frame of some 90 days, and if we look at some of the bigger projects, please remember that one order can easily be up to one or 1.5 billion. So there may be it's not a thing which is a concern for us these days.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much. That's it for my end. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Sean McLaughlin from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. Just to clarify, you mentioned, I think, that the broad mix of components across platforms are components that you developed. So I was just checking to see whether there is maybe any recourse to sub-suppliers in order to effectively get, maybe them to share the cost involved, or is it something that, let's say, is a Siemens Gamesa developed product?
Well, it's a mix. I mean, technically speaking, sometimes we did at least the geometrical development, if you wish, but for instance, material compositions are coming from somebody else. So therefore, it's a mix. And yes, part of our mitigation measures also is to go back to our suppliers where they are in charge.
Yeah, thank you. And just to confirm, I mean, regionally, is there any concentration of where these issues are, or is this kind of a turbines dotted around globally?
It's the latter.
Thank you.
So it's about. I mean, there is no specific regional or technological highlight or lowlight, if you wish.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Gael Debray from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Oh, thanks very much. Good morning, everyone. Can I have two questions, please? The first one is on the free cash flow dynamic. I think you've just had a 700 million outflow in fiscal Q1. So obviously I'd be interested in any, indication you could provide on the dynamics going forward or rather maybe, how do you see CapEx? How do you see, the expected working capital normalization and the timing of the cash out on all of these provisions you've now booked, both within, the WTG segment and the service segments? So that's question number one. Quickly, the second question is about the turnaround process of the business. From the outside, it's pretty difficult to see any progress on the new equipment side because the new equipment business probably recorded a loss of more than 300 million euros in Q1, right? So the earnings momentum seems to remain negative. So can you talk a little bit about that, please? Maybe also making a differentiation between what's going on in onshore and offshore. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks very much for those questions. The general thing I can say on spendings, we've put rigorous spending stops or we've put rigorous saving measures on the spending in place, and we will continue to follow up on those. On the more specific, on the more CapEx specific questions or cash flow specific questions, perhaps Beatriz.
Yes, thank you, Gael, for the question. As I mentioned, regarding, the provision that we made on the balance sheet, 472 million euros, the cash out expectations for 23 will be moderate. As I said, mid double digit impact. And then, of course, for the coming years, as also Johan explained, the replacement or repair of the fleet, stall fleet, will be, of course, done with close alignment with our customers, and that also we'll see how the cash flow profile will come in the coming years. As I said, roughly in a time frame of 8 years, of course, we can also do it sooner and mitigate the risk, but it will be done with our alignment with the clients. Regarding also your question about cash flow, let's say forecast for the year, we didn't provide any guidance, but let me give you some color on the cash flow, and of course also we'll provide more details with the full year report on a Q1. As you said, as you saw, we disclosed net financial debt for the quarter, roughly 1.9 billion euros, out of which gross debt is 3.1, and out of which bank debt is 2.3, and the rest is IFRS, debt that we report also as net financial debt. Cash-wise, we have on the balance sheet roughly 1.1 or 1.2 billion euros of cash, and available liquidity on Q1 as we close was roughly 2 billion euros. As we always said, also our cash flow this year, it will depend also on the order intake that we have and prepayment from clients that will have with significant order intake in offshore this year foreseen, and also normalization of the cash flow. Again, also we foresee to have it in the coming years. Regarding the CapEx, it's very important that this year also we keep investing on the business, of course, aligned with the cash flow of, net financial situation that we have, but we foresee to have the investments that we explain for offshore to make sure, of course, that we keep investing in a future that we foresee to have significant value for this company.
Now, the second question on the earnings per product, this may be the case. But it's also a little bit due to the fact of what the reporting format sometimes is and what we can speak about under times where we cannot really give guidance. But please remember, we have had announced that we had substantial volumes of onerous projects, and there we are making progress, although this might not be too directly visible.
Any specific development that would be worth mentioning in offshore this quarter?
No, not from our perspective.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, in order to ask a question, please press star 5 on your telephone keypad, and we would kindly request that due to time limitations, you limit your questions to one per turn. Thank you. The next question comes from Vivek Midha from Citi. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much, everyone, and good morning. A quick follow-up on the previous questions. I think you mentioned both onshore and offshore being involved with this, these charges this quarter. Is there any broad indication you can give as to the relative sizes of the hits in both of those? So is it more onshore, is it more offshore, et cetera? Thank you.
In my view, Beatriz?
Yes, I would say as we disclose, this is related to the install fleet. So as we said, the breakdown that we are going to provide is with the full year report, is impacting the service business. It's true that, of course, is onshore and offshore platforms, but as we explained before, it's across different platforms and onshore and offshore. I will say also that you will see the breakdown of the impact, the 472, also a significant impact is on the revenue side. Remember that we follow POC accounting. So what you'll see on the quarter is that we are adjusting or decreasing the revenues on the quarter because we are adjusting with the POC accountant status the revenues that we book on our previous on the backlog on the year-to-date impact. Roughly that figure for you to know, because I think it's important, you see the performance of the Q1X, this impact is roughly 166 million euros. And that's the amount that we are adjusting the revenues with.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Rajesh Singla from Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my question. This is regarding the charges. So can you please share, like, what events triggered this evaluation and whether this evaluation will be kind of an annual kind of event or it is just a one-off evaluation because of some issues where which you faced in some of the turbines?
Well, principally, perhaps for the mechanics of this, principally we look at incident rates. And as soon as incident rates receive or reach a certain threshold, then they're being looked at more systematically. We typically try to attach it to a root cause analysis, so a technical root cause analysis. And once the root cause analysis is done, then obviously we have solid grounds or sufficiently solid grounds for further measures, further optimizations, and sometimes also to go back to our suppliers. So that's the technicality of this. It typically describes the best level of knowledge we have, and it's done in a pretty systematic way.
Okay, maybe a next question on this. So with this provision, so can we say that we are now end of all the areas which we have already analyzed, so all areas of business we have already covered, and all the provisions which we have identified so far are now done? Because I believe last quarter we had heard that now the things are moving in right direction, we are not seeing any negative surprises, but again this quarter we have such a big amount of provisions. So can we say that we have now checked each and every area of the business for any potential provisions or losses?
We checked everything which we are aware of, and regarding those phenomena we had looked at, this is, in our view, the judgment, yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you. The next question comes from William Mackie from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning to you all. Thanks for the time. Just a clarification first. The provision you've taken, I believe it partly relates to your turbine business and largely relates to service. So is there a split between the two that you could share between the impact on service and the impact on projects? That's a clarification. And then the second question regards perhaps, how are you seeing the supply chain evolution at the moment, both within your business and external to the business? And with that in mind, could you provide some insight into the ramp up of the 5X in terms of where you are relative to your previous plans and whether you're still incurring damages to the clients that are still suffering from late delivery or completion on turbines?
Well, thank you very much. So on the split, it's a little bit difficult unless you go to very much a detailed level, which perhaps would be going a little bit beyond the scope of today. But of course, indeed, you're right. There is an impact on the service business mostly, and to some limited extent also on the turbine business. On the supply chain and specifically on the 5X, so as I said, we're making progress. In cases are even better than planned. So in that sense, the negative effects on customers are being reduced right now, and this is what we continue to drive for. But of course, we're not at the end of the story.
Thank you.
Thank you. The last question comes from Nicholas Green from Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking a second question. This is for Beatrice. So you described there you're using a percentage of completion accounting. You've got just under a 17 billion order book in services in O&M. So effectively, you've just written down the margin in the entire O&M order book. Can you talk through then how much you've written it down? What is the new margin that we should consider to be embedded in this order book. You know, your full year numbers just put something like a 22% margin. What do we think is the scale of the write down you just taken in terms of being able to assess the embedded margin in the rest of that order book? Thank you.
Thank you, Nicholas. As I said, you know, for POC accounting status, or as of we were closing, you know, Q1 books and based on the impact on the projects that will be impacted by this component. Adjustment on the revenues, 187 million euros. And of course, this is with POC accounting year to date. I referred to Jochen's answer as before, is early stage to assess, you know, how this is going to impact the profitability of our backlog on service going forward. What we can tell you, as we said, is that issues has been identified. There is a specific action plan. The company is focusing, of course, on continuously improving the quality on our platforms. And as far as depending on, of course, future, you know, failure rates, cost estimates, and how the mitigation plans will be in place, it will have or not, you know, an impact on the profitability of the backlog of the service business.
Are you able to then quantify, though, the number of basis points reduction in that 17 billion order book because of this provision
has created? At this stage, you know, of course, you know, we said you are just, you know, POC, but we are not going to provide that figure early stage.
Can you instead then provide the amount of the 472 million or 474 million write down that pertain to a specific project or a specific problem, because then the residual amount will be the reduction of the margin.
What we can provide you, and I think it's good because you will we will get that detail, you know, on Q1 activity report, is that out of the 472 million euros, roughly close to 350 are impacting the service segment. The rest will go on the WTG. But that's the information that we are going to provide to the market.
Okay, so just to confirm then, we could take that 350 million, divide that into the 17 billion order book, and that is effectively the margin, the basis points of margin that you've reduced. That would be the appropriate way to deal with this accounting, is that correct?
No, I will just say, you know, what is appropriate is what we did, you know, analyzing the price here to date and analyzing the POC accounting impact, adjusting the revenues. That's what is good, but of course you don't have the POC accounting status of each of the projects. So as I said, you know, that rough calculation that you are doing may not be that accurate.
Okay, I understand. Thank you for your responses.
Ladies and gentlemen, I will now give the floor back to our speakers. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much to all of you. Thank you very much once more for being up there at short notice and so early in the day. I continue to say that it's really been a valuable discussion for us. As always, I'd like to express our appreciation for the high level of sophistication of all the questions. And from our side, I can assure you that we will continue to do our best to answer your questions best possible. And with that, please remember, should there be further questions, short notice, don't hesitate to reach out to our investor relations. With that, thank you very much to all of you once more. Have a great rest of the week and have a great weekend, perhaps even more. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.